Do you believe when the people of the United States on whole approved of and condoned and legalized slavery, should they have opposed it in principle or gradually tried to change the policies? Should they have disobeyed or tried to petition for different laws?
If people didn't come out, and slavery wasn't actually what the Civil War was completely about, I hope you understand that. It came about through people making gradual suggestions and gradual changes to be made. It didn't happen instantly. You had periods of time where you still had Jim Crow laws. Like, to think it happened instantly and everyone was just instantly given perfectly the same rights is ridiculous. Of course it happened slowly.
I'm not saying that's how things should happen.
I'm saying that's how things do happen.
The abolitionists were not saying over the next 50 years we need to phase this out. We're saying this is wrong now. It took a long time before enough people understood that. It sounds like you're saying, I don't want to oppose it in principle now. I want to oppose a gradual phasing out of what
that is
immoral.
That is a completely inaccurate
statement. Then in slavery days, would you in principle say, regardless of what the majority wants, regardless of what the policies are, slavery is wrong, I oppose it?
Right, but I wouldn't just sit in a conference with 10 people and say, or a book club with 10 people and say, this is wrong, let's talk about things that are never going to have any impact in the real world and actually stopping slavery. No, you had to have politicians come out and make change and start actually voting for things and making things that were reasonable in the public's eye for that to happen.
Do you believe the politicians ended slavery and not the abolitionists who disobeyed it?
Would you not accept, like, people saying, okay, well, I think maybe we need to start trying to change the system any way we can? Would you be an all or nothing if it was slavery? And in fact, I mean, slavery does still exist today with the prison industrial complex. I mean, that's a whole nother debate we can get into, but would you not be for rolling back every single piece of slavery that you possibly could if there was no movement for abolition? You know, that's my question to you.
Well, actually, I totally support what the abolitionists did, which is, I mean, some of them wanted to change the law, but what broke slavery was not a change in legislation. It was people saying this law is evil and we're just going to break it. And it got to the point that juries wouldn't convict because enough people said this is evil, I'm not going to say guilty, even though they totally helped, you know, slaves run away. The Underground Railroad was a bunch of nasty criminals not voting, not petitioning, not asking for a change in the law, but breaking the back of an immoral law to the point that it fell apart. Similar thing with alcohol prohibition. When enough people disobey, it falls apart. And that's one of just the mathematical problems with trying to achieve freedom by way of you know, running for office and politics and stuff. By the time you get enough people that you're anywhere near being able to vote someone into office who you hope is going to vote for something that you hope is going to pass all the other committees and get past all the other politicians to maybe give us a little bit of freedom back, when you were a fifth of the way there and you had 10% of the people on board, those 10% of the people could have broken any law of any empire ever. 10% of the people in this country is 30 million people. If 30 million people openly say, see this law, it's stupid, it's evil, we're going to defy it, and if you come to get us, we're going to shoot you, that's it. Way, way before you would ever get to the point of being able to vote that law out of existence. And that's what happened with the end of slavery is, you know, you only needed enough people that on every jury, there's a few people going, slavery is screwed up, messed up, I'm not going to convict them. And a tiny little percentage of the population helping slaves escape up north and doing all that stuff. And then some of them like openly being, you know, violently rebellious against slave owners to the point it was no longer enforceable. Way before there was any legislative fix. And then politicians do what politicians always do after the fact, and they pretend it was their idea. Like with drug prohibition, we passed a new amendment saying with alcohol prohibition, saying you're allowed to have alcohol. Yeah, that's because the whole thing completely fell apart until you couldn't enforce it. So it's actually an example of open disobedience outrunning political and legislative action to achieve freedom way more than voting for some new slave master. Basically, I'm not denying that having a slightly gentler slave master would on a practical basis be less painful. I'm saying that to advocate a slightly kinder slave master is to advocate slavery. And let me ask you this. Suppose you have a time machine, jump back in time to 1830s or something, and you're there, and there's a guy coming along and say, oh, I think the way people, you know, these plantation owners, the way they're treating their slaves is just horrible. So I'm going to go out there and give this rousing speech and say, you know, of course you're slaves. Of course, that's legitimate. I'm not advocating anything, you know, don't break the law. Don't run away or anything. But I want to pass these laws that limit how much they can whip you and how much they can force you to work every hour. Would you endorse that guy? Would you say, yep, I like his message? What the hell kind of message is that? Would you like that message?
I don't think it's personally a good message, no. I don't. But
good. Me neither. Which is why I probably don't support anybody running for political office.
I'm guessing at the time there might have been a couple of slaves who are like, we would love that. Please roll some of this shit back. It's tearing our lives apart, right?
Yeah.
Anything we can get to make our life a little better for our families and ourselves, we will take, because nothing else is getting it done. Nothing else is getting it done.
And
right?
So it can give a little bit, it can maybe give a little bit of practical relief. I mean, that hardly ever happens either, but we might get to that later. Maybe it can give some practical relief, and it's still 100% pro-slavery. I'm not going to be pro-slavery. I'm not going to cheer for a pro-slavery position or a pro-authoritarian position just because the guy who wants the ring of power says that he's going to let me have a little bit more freedom, let me keep a little bit more of my money.
Sure.
Now, I would respect somebody who ran for office saying, one, it makes no stinking difference whether I win or not. It makes no stinking difference what the legislation says. What all of you should do is not try to get me into office. You should try to find ways to disobey and resist the ruling class any way you can, regardless of what crook is sitting on the throne. That I could actually respect. And, you know, people like Patrick have done messages like that. The vast majority of politicians I've seen and people running for office in the Libertarian Party talk about legislative change. And the reason I said no just then is I don't want somebody saying, I'll go in and abolish it, because they're still talking about using the ring of power as if it's legitimate. They're still strengthening the superstition of authoritarianism and the notion that we need their permission to keep our own damn money. That is strengthening the single biggest threat to humanity, the idea that those crooks actually have the right to rule us. And to reinforce the problem, along with the promise of making it a little bit more comfortable on a practical level, is actually worse. And I'm almost hesitant to talk about this in public, because if they did it, they would reinforce their regime for ages. To get someone in there who would do exactly what you're talking about, actually significantly reduce taxation and give a whole bunch of freedoms till people went, yay, a nice master, time to go back to sleep and not pay any attention, because now we're comfortable enough that we're not going to notice. To me, it's actually a scarier idea. I would rather have it be bad enough that normal people start to go, this is evil and insane, and maybe the whole idea is bogus, than to have a kind enough slave owner and master that people go, I guess this isn't so bad. Because where we are today is a direct result of the founding fathers making a ruling class that people could go, I guess that's not so bad. That's why we're here.
Have
the number of slaves who figured out we're not supposed to be slaves and okay. And incidentally, Frederick Douglass wrote about that as a former slave, describing how most of the slaves thought slavery was legitimate because they grew up in it. And well, this is just how it is. And like I've mentioned a million times, a lot of them viewed themselves as thieves if they ran away, because they were stealing themselves from the master. That is how well indoctrinated they were. As long as the people believe the evil is legitimate, it's going to keep happening. When enough people understand it's not legitimate, that is the thing that matters, and it's going to fall. It doesn't need a revolution. You know, there's a high likelihood that when they get desperate, authoritarian control freaks will get nasty and some people will have to resist or run and hide or whatever. But it's not about an overthrow. You can't, you know, as V for Vendetta said, you can't kill an idea. You can't shoot. Ideas are bulletproof. Good ideas and bad ideas. What matters, what will get us to a free society, and I don't mean it might, I mean it absolutely will. What I'm doing, what we are doing, is going to get to the entire population of the world. That is absolutely inevitable. To me, it's only a matter of time. because the insanity of this superstition is a one-way road. When you see through it, people don't go back in droves. When it's just a belief thing, that is what needs to be focused on, is people's beliefs. And the fact that we're a tiny percentage now matters way less than the fact that there's an exponential growth of it. And if you get to the point that 10 million Americans identify as voluntarists and say, I don't feel like I have any obligation to go along with thuggery just because they call it law, there is no force in the world that can control them. And we're headed in that direction. And the idea of, let's get a nicer master to give us permission, is actually the other freaking direction. That's the direction that says, yes, it's legitimate. Yes, we need the laws to tell us what we're allowed to do. Yes, we need a kind master who will be permissive. Then it's legitimate. Then we can all be quiet. Then we can settle down. And that is actually, like I said, that's a pro-authoritarian position, but it's also the smartest thing they can do. And the funny thing is, I'm glad they're being as stupid as they are and charging this fast into fascism, because a lot of normal people are actually waking up and going, what? Wait, since when did they have the right to tell me I can't leave my house? What the hell? Whereas if you get a kinder, nicer master, people go, oh, well, I guess I won't complain about this. And then you get to where we are now. Again, this is digital. This is not analog. I either own myself or somebody else has the right to rule me. If you accept that somebody else has the right to rule me and then bicker over how nice he should be to me, that is 100% anti-freedom. It's not the way to achieve what humanity is supposed to be. The amount of time and energy and money and excitement and hope that pro-freedom people throw into these campaigns when they are designed to waste those people's time and accomplish nothing is just infuriating. The amount of money donated to the party, the amount of time and effort people going around and telling people about the Libertarian Party, losing 80 bazillion times in a row for the last 50 stinking years, spreading a message that's completely incoherent and self-contradictory and accomplishing nothing. If I were a tyrant, I would have made that party on purpose to take the people who kind of believe in freedom and give them something utterly pointless to do, to waste their time and effort, to get their hopes up, to dash their hopes, to smash them into the ground and have them slink back into compliance where they belong. I would make the Libertarian Party as it is now, because it isn't just useless. It's way, way worse than useless. It is absolutely counterproductive because it reinforces the insane and evil notion that if you want freedom, the way to get it is to play the game and either try to add your own clown to the circus or become the new king on the throne. And when it doesn't work over and over and over and over again, the tyrants are up there laughing their asses off and thinking all those dumbasses had to do was to get together and disobey us. And instead we have them playing this ridiculous game that not only has no chance of achieving freedom, but it actually reinforces the idea that these bizarre religious rituals are legitimate, and that the legislative outcomes and the people who get elected, that that's real, that that's valid, that people have an obligation to give a crap about any of that. It takes the focus of pro-freedom people and turns it into pro-authoritarian delusions. And having been the victim of that back when I thought I believed in freedom as a Republican statist, very limited statist, and seeing how much of my excitement and energy I wasted on that crap, playing their inherently bullshit game, until I finally wised up to realize the whole game is evil. It's all immoral. And then, you know, went about trying to spread that message. That's why I say the Libertarian Party is worse than nothing. It isn't just a waste of time. It takes pro-freedom people and it pushes them in the direction of believing the political mythology that is the entire problem. There's only two choices. Either the slaves are the rightful property of the slave owner, in which case he has the right to do anything he wants to them, or the slaves are human beings and own themselves, in which case the slave owner has no right to impose anything on them without their consent. It's not like it's possible for the slave owner to own, well, I own 53% of this human being,
and the other 47% he owns himself. It doesn't work that way. And it can't work that way with a thing, because if whoever has the final say on what is done with that thing, whether it's a chair or a human being, they're the owner by definition. Either you own yourself or somebody else owns you. And that exact same thing translates over into statism. If you accept the notion that government has the right to rule at all, that political power is legitimate at all, then how can you pretend that there's somewhere you can draw a line? If the ruling class has the right to take 17% of what you earn, why don't they have the right to take 23% of what you earn? Why don't they have the right to take 98% of what you earn? If they get to decide how much of what you earn they're allowed to take, they own you. What they let you keep, being so benevolent in their slave mastery, is just up to them. It's just their whim. If you think legislation determines the proper level of taxation, then you think they all the way own all the people that they're taxing. And so, tactically, it's ridiculous to accept that premise and then think they're going to go backwards. Think they're going to say, well, we really like robbing you, but we're going to rob you a little bit less, and then a little bit less, and a little bit less, until after however many years, we're just going to decide, now we don't own you anymore. When does that ever happen? Power corrupts. Power doesn't, like, make people more noble. Which is why governments always do this. They grow and they expand, they bigger and bigger until there's a revolution, or there's an invasion, or there's an economic collapse, or some catastrophic thing changes the game. But they don't just gradually go down. So on a tactical level, I'd say it just doesn't happen. You don't ever see it. I mean, people have been, you know, the Libertarian Party's been around since the 70s, I think. Have things gotten better? You know, people have tried to vote for the lesser of two evils. They've tried to vote for conservatives. I was a freaking statist, and I was all excited in 1994 about the 94 Republican Revolution, with a bunch of candidates, a bunch of whom had never been politicians before, getting into office saying, we're going to slash this and cut these taxes and remove these programs and do all these things, rah, rah, rah. And I was all excited. I was 2 years away from becoming an anarchist, but I was still a statist. I was all excited. Nothing happened. Nothing of anything significance happened, because the system is built of, by, and for the parasites. It's not built to give away its own power. And a bunch of people who got into, you know, who were elected in that 94 landslide where the Republicans took over control of the House and Senate, a bunch of the people who went in quickly said that, you know, what you see on CNN is a joke. This is not how it works. If you don't, you know, go in there and kiss the butts of the powerful psychos, you can't get anything done. You can't accomplish anything. I give up. It can't be done. So even a bunch of the, you know, a bunch of the well-intentioned people going in, when they saw how the machine actually operates, realized, I can't do anything. I can't shrink this thing, much less make it all the way disappear. So on a practical basis, it doesn't work. But on a philosophical basis, of course it doesn't work. You're asking the masters to have permission to have a little bit more freedom each day until finally you're going to ask the masters to give you permission to all the way be free. Asking them implies that it's their choice. And if you think it's their choice, you're already their slave. You're already conceding the only point that matters, which is that you don't think you own yourself. You think they own you, and you think you need their permission to be free, whether it's all the way free or a little bit freer. Incrementalism completely relies on the premise that it's up to government how much of our money we're allowed to keep, how much of our lives we're allowed to run, how many of our own choices we're allowed to make. If you accept that premise, you all the way failed. You're all the way a slave. You may have a more permissive master, you may have a nastier master, but you're all the way a slave as soon as you think your life and your freedom is somebody else's decision to make, which is why politics is always going to fail as a route to achieve actual freedom. You can't get there by playing a game that is founded on the notion that the ruling class has the right to do anything. The moment you vote, the moment you whine for this or that legislation, you're saying, I accept that this is legitimate, that they have authority, that they have the right to rule, and now I'm going to ask them to be, it doesn't matter what you ask them after that. You just told them, you think they're, your masters. You just told them you think you are their slave. That is not the way to get freed. It's not the way to get to a free society. So no, incrementalism, practically, it doesn't work. And philosophically, it makes no sense. It's like slaves saying, well, we don't think this is all that good, but we should start petitioning the master to be a little bit nicer and a little bit nicer and a little bit nicer and a little bit more permissive, give us a little more free time, work us a little less hard until eventually he lets us go. If it's the master's choice, you're never getting free. If it's your choice, don't ask the freaking master. Don't try to do it incrementally. Run away. And that is what rational human beings have to do from the state, knowing that they're going to chase you, they'll try to rob you, they'll try to do this and that and the other thing. Don't ask them for permission. Slave masters don't give permission to slaves to be free. It's just not how the world works. And don't treat them as if it's their choice to make. And all of politics treats it as if it's their choice to make. Even the politician who says, put me into office and I will give you your freedom. Who the hell are you to pretend that it's up to you to give anybody their freedom? You arrogant psycho. They already have their freedom. They don't need the permission of any politician of any stripe. They don't need the legislative permission of a ruling class. And as long as people think they need that permission, they're still enslaved. They're still enslaved in their mind. They're going to still be enslaved in their body, which is why, no, incrementalism is not ever the way to achieve freedom. Incrementalism is part of the game that legitimizes the subjugation of mankind.